How's everybody doing today? Amen. Let's say hello to everybody watching in North County and online and all around the world. God bless y'all. God bless you. God bless you. A couple of announcements. There's a young girl in the church. She's probably about 8 or 10 years old. Her name is Madison. She has red hair. I dedicated her when she was a baby, and she draws me pictures. So I need to see you, Madison, but I don't know how to get in touch with you. So please call the office and ask to speak to Pastor Mickey. Have your mom call. Amen. So anybody know Madison? Tell her I'm looking for her. I need a picture. So I don't know. It's like all this technology. I can't find this little girl. It's like Osama bin Laden. How do you find her? I want to encourage you to pray for the peace of Israel. Psalm 122 tells us to pray for the peace of Israel. Amen. As we've been studying about Abraham, God told Abraham, leave your land and you go to a land I will show you, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to the world. And through Abraham came Isaac, his son. His son had a son named Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and that's Israel. And through Israel came Christ. We are eternally connected to Israel and the Jewish people. God is going to come back and rule from Jerusalem. The reason all the drama is in Jerusalem all the time and will be until Christ comes back, because that is the target of the enemy, a spiritual enemy, and that is where Christ is going to come back. So the devil does not like that place, and he is going to pester them and surround them with his enemies all the time until he comes back. So there will be no peace until Christ comes back. And so we want to pray for the peace of Israel, and who knows what's happened, what happening there now is going to lead to. But that is absolutely a spiritual battle. If you read the end times and study the end times, America is not in the picture. It's all over there. As important as we think we are, that's the center of the world. So Israel is the side of Rhode Island. It's very small. But yet it's always the center of attention of the world, because it's a spiritual issue. I won't take a second and I'll tell you this, but there was a 4-acre piece of land in Jerusalem called the Temple Mount, where the temple was. And on the Temple Mount is a gold dome with Islam. It's the center, one of the holy sites in the center of Islam. It is the same piece of land that the Jews say they worship on. Why is it that two religions have to have one piece of land? And it's 4 acres, the size of our property, right here that we are on in Point Loma. It is the focal point of all the spiritual forces in the world, right to that one piece of land. When you see the Jews at the Wailing Wall praying and they're putting prayers on the wall, that at the top of that wall is this piece of 4-acre property. And it's the center of spiritual battle in the universe. So anyway, it's beyond what we in America live way outside of the focal point. It's over there. So just be praying for that, and that God would do whatever he's going to do. Amen? Amen. Let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bibles. One more time, if you North County as well, say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 14. And if you are wondering, maybe you're not wondering why we haven't taken our offering yet. Some of y'all are like, yes, we missed it. Yes. We are going to take our offering at the end of the service today. And from now on, and eventually in a couple weeks, we're going to get to where we take it when we walk out. And we'll explain a little more to that as weeks come by. But we want to just have the beginning of the service just flow a little better, more continuously from worship to the Word of God, and then we'll take offering after at the end. So that's what we're going to do today. And matter of fact, real quick, if all of y'all can just identify the envelope that you have in your bulletin, if you can get that out and put that in your Bible, put that somewhere accessible, because we're going to be collecting those and praying for those at the end. And we acknowledge that a lot of you give online, and we want to thank you for that. And if you want to give online, where it comes out of your account automatically, which a lot of people do, you can just go to our website, sdrock.com, and hit the give button. It's very easy to do. Information's on the back of your bulletin. Lord, thank you so much. We pray you challenge us. Challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. I went to Catholic school from first to eighth grade, Our Lady of Lourdes. Wore a green suit, penny loafers, tie for 8 years. Had nuns and priests teach us, administrate us, supervise us, discipline us, spank us, hit us. Anybody remember that? It was all right. If none hit you, you can't call the police. Flea's not going to come. They represent God. And it was all good. It was all good. I learned a fear of God at that school. It's the best thing in my life, for real. And so we went to Catholic school. My mother had 6 kids in 5 years. So she had a 7, a 6, a 5, a 2, and a 1, something like that. And we would all go to church. My father didn't go to church. He stayed home and watched football. And we would all go to church, suit, Brewer cream hair, penny loafers, and we would sit, 5, boom, 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 boom. My mother was 4'11", 5 foot barely, and then we were all boom, 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 boom. And we would sit there, stand up, get on your knees, bang, you know the whole drill. How many of y'all Catholic went to Catholic school before? You know what I'm talking about. Bada boom, bada bing, bada boom. And then when the offering came, I'm not making fun, I'm just trying to hurry up. When the offering came, she gave us all, before we walked into church, an envelope. That's not what we have envelopes, but it was an envelope. And in the envelope, you had a little space where you could put a coin. Y'all remember that? You could fit the coin in it. We don't do coins anymore. We like paper, okay? Coins ain't paying the bills, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Actually, you can just write numbers, you know, credit card if you want, whatever you want to do it. It don't matter. And now we got text. You can text your money in. So we put a coin in, and back then, you know, a quarter can get you a gallon of gas. Okay, so just putting things in perspective. And I would always like, am I going to get a dime? Am I going to get a quarter? Sometimes I get a penny. Times were hard. And they would bring it back, and she was teaching us to give. Every single one of us had something to give. 2 weeks ago, we started a series called The Source. Everyone say The Source. And we learned that God is the source of all good gifts. No doubt, God is the source of all good gifts, but he gives to us that we may be a source of blessing to someone else. Not that we have to give everything away, but he's not just giving to us for us to just keep and enjoy all that he gives to us. So as he is a source to us, he then directs us to be a source to someone else or other people in general, multiples, okay? We're going to have this event, Toys for Joy, down at Lincoln High School. And some of y'all don't really go south of the A freeway. Some of you really don't go south of the 94 and get out of your car. Because of their perception. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some people south of the 94 who don't come to your neighborhood because they have their own fears as well. This is kind of a place where we all kind of get together. Okay, then we all go our separate ways. So on December 8th, we're going to have an event down there, a 16th annual Toys for Joy event. We're going to have about 2,000 volunteers, about 10,000 people getting toys, food, and clothes. Last year, we gave 130,000 articles of clothing, 60,000 pounds of food, just under 10,000 toys. It is amazing. Okay, so we want to invite you to come. Amen? I invite you to come. So God has blessed you. You can bless someone else. But here's the greatest thing about it. When you bless someone else with your giving, you are blessed again. You're blessed again. And so what we're going to talk today about is a giving starter kit. When my mother was giving us those envelopes, it was just a starter kit, teaching us to start to understand what giving was about. If you see a brother with a lot of gold chains, that's his Mr. T starter kit. Okay, just a little taste, and then you get more gold chains, and you become Mr. T, get the mohawk and everything. So we're going to talk about a giving starter kit. It's called tithing. Everyone say tithe. Now let me preface this talk by saying this. When you talk about money in church, people think you're trying to get their money. Let me be very clear. We are trying to get more than your money. God wants your heart. That's more than your money. God wants your heart. If he got your heart, then he have you all of you. And does he want all of you? Absolutely. He wants not all of you, but all of you. Your whole life he wants. And he deserves it because he gave his whole life for you. When he died on the cross, he didn't just 10% die. He didn't give 10% of his blood or then tithe his blood. He gave his whole life. So God wants your whole life. Tithing is a starter kit. It's just to get you started understanding what it means to give. It's the beginning. And then when you taste and see that the Lord is good, then you understand that what the devil tells you is not really true. Okay, so in this story we're going to read, Abraham is going to rescue his son Lot. His son Lot lived in Sodom. His son Lot was taken captive when the city of Sodom was conquered by another king. There were four kings against five. Abraham's told, Abraham gathers 318 of his soldiers who work for him, his own army. And he goes and rescues Lot and the king of Sodom, and he recovers all the things that were stolen from the city. And on his way back, he's going to meet a guy named Melchizedek, and he is going to tithe. First time in the Bible we see tithe. So turn to Genesis 14, verse 18. Genesis 14, verse 18, it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of Shalom, king of peace, Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine, communion, and he was the priest of the God Most High." We also know that Melchizedek had no beginning and no end. He was an eternal, mysterious being, Jesus Christ here. Jesus Christ, Melchizedek is the king of peace. Jesus is the prince of peace. He's the king of righteousness. Jesus is the king of righteousness. He has no ancestry. He has no mother and father that he originated from. Christ is eternal as well. Though he came through Mary, he had already preexisted. And he's also the priest of the Most High God. Jesus is the great high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. And we learn that in Hebrews. So here's Christ. And it says, verse 19, "He blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth." God Most High is the possessor of heaven and earth, not Abraham. "And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And then it says, "He," Abraham, "gave him a tithe of all," of everything. Number one in your notes. A tithe is 10% of all of what you receive from God. Now, when we say we receive our tithes and offerings, what we're saying is that whatever your tithe is, that's what we're receiving. And now people ask, well, do I tithe off my gross or my net? Well, what do you want God to bless, your gross or your net? Now, let me preface it by saying this, because people, when you talk about money, people get all like that. 100% of the time, whatever we talk about challenging you to do in the Bible is based on what the Bible says, and in the end, you obey by faith. And in the end, it is between you and God to obey by faith and you to walk according to God's word and to pay attention to what God is doing in your life as you walk by faith. For example, when we do our event on December 8th at Lincoln High School, for you to come down and serve and always pay attention to what God is doing in your heart as you are serving and what he is teaching you through serving and what he's teaching you about your relationship with him, about who you are, how you perceive yourself, how you perceive the world. And so our job is to simply say, here's what the Bible says. Your job is to obey the Bible. Our job is never to manipulate you. In other words, give you bad information to get you to do what we want. We're going to give you what we believe is the truth to get you to do what God wants you to do. Now, if you go to another church, you need to tithe to that church. Okay, we want to challenge you online, tithe right there online. We're blessing you, tithe online. Okay, so tithe is 10%. Now, when I was playing with the Chargers, my third year, when I got my big contract, for me, it was big at the time, and that was the big one I got. I was making $9,000 or $9,700 a game, and I remember my first check, and I was just a new Christian. I was learning tithing. And my check was $90-something hundred, and then they took out $30-something hundred of tax. And I was like, whoa, I never made even $30-something hundred a month, much less give it in tax. And I was challenged, do I tithe off what's left, or do I tithe off the gross? And from day one, I was taught, you tithe off all the gross, the first fruits of what you get. Now, if you want God to bless all of your life, you give of all of your life. If you want to just bless God from a little bit, then that's up to you. And you're cheating God, by the way. God wants all of you. By the way, all of what you have, all of who you are, belongs to God anyway. I'm an empty nester as of 12 hours ago. 20 hours ago. Amy, can I get it? Can I get it? Some of y'all who don't know what that means, I'll explain it to you. My wife and I's last child that lived with us moved out yesterday. We love her, but you know, it's just time. It's just time. You know, lions need a 100-mile radius to live. You know where I'm going with this, right? And so when you grow up, you kind of just need your space, and your kids need their space by right. And so you just got to kind of spread out. So when we were dropping her off yesterday and unpacking her stuff into the apartment, right as we were getting ready to take the last piece of furniture or whatever into the apartment, before we went into the apartment, my wife is sad. You know, she's, you know, it's hard for her, and I get that. When we dropped my daughter off in L.A., my wife was boo-hoo crying, driving, you know, off the street, off the block, and she's crying. And I'm like, we want to go get something to eat. So yesterday, we're getting ready to drop the last one off. Not only is it another child, it's the last one. I mean, this is a lot. This is a big statement. And we're getting ready to walk in. I stopped. I said, okay, now I know your emotions and everything, but how long do you want to stay in here once we go in here to say goodbye? I mean, how long do you want? Are we going to be in there for an hour? Can we make it quick? And, you know, just like, hey, give her a hug and get out. It's not like we're not going to see her today. You know, it's not like she went to, you know, the moon or something. She's right down the street, you know, kind of, you know, 15 minutes away. So she's like, I said, okay, let's just go in there, you know, hug her. You know, we've had all these years with her. It's not like, you know, 10 more minutes is going to make a bigger difference. I know some of you women are thinking, he's so insensitive. Besides the fact, I had a lot of other stuff to do tomorrow. I'm going to see her. It's not like I'm not going to see her. And two, she wants to get on with her life. She's like, you know how excited it was to move out? Y'all remember that? So, okay, Mom, Dad, thanks. See ya. So I'm like, hey, you're going to do great. See ya. She never belonged to us. She was never ours. It was a management. God gave us to manage. Steward. She's hers. She is his. Your money doesn't belong to you. God gives you a whole lot more than you need, and he just wants you to give some back to test you constantly, to remind you it's his. Now, some people say, well, that's the Old Testament. You don't need to do that in the New Testament. Okay, the Old Testament teaches us not to murder. It still applies. The Old Testament teaches not to commit adultery. It still applies. The Old Testament teaches not to lie, cheat, steal. It tells not to make idols, to only worship one God. All that stuff is 100% applicable to today. The Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament. I'm a newsflash. Everything taught in the Old Testament. Everyone say everything. Everything applies to you today in spirit. In the Old Testament, they tithe fruits and vegetables because that was their wealth. That was their resource. We now have cash. The spirit of it is that, Lord, we are honoring and acknowledging you for the giver of all good gifts, and we are supporting the ministry that you have set up, because the reason for the tithe was so the priests can do their ministry. They can focus on, and they can live, and they can focus on doing the ministry. Same thing. And so because we live under grace, we even have a higher burden, if you will, or expectation. Grace says, the Bible says, you shall be saved by grace by faith. Grace says, I want all of your heart. It's not that you do 10% and then 90% do what I want. It's all mine, 10%, and you get 10%, but now I want to be part of the rest of your life as well. It's a higher burden, if you want to talk about burden and responsibility. People think, if you think this, meditate on it. Well, because it's by grace, I don't have to do anything. And I can pray in the morning or not. I can read my Bible or not. Now, it doesn't matter when you pray, but it does matter that you do pray. But some of you think, well, God loves me by grace, so I'll just, it doesn't matter what I do, and I'm going to be blessed anyway. That's not true at all. God, grace doesn't mean you could do whatever you want and be blessed anyway. Grace means that God is going to bless you way beyond what you deserve. But if you go out there and go buck wild and go to Tijuana and TJ and get drunk, mad drunk, get arrested, you are going to jail. And if you go to the wrong jail, very bad things are going to happen to you. Now, if you repent, God will graciously get you out of there and maybe heal you up, maybe. But you're going to get jacked up. Don't think, well, if I don't pray, I'm going to get blessed. Because you won't. Don't think if I don't read my Bible, I'm going to get blessed. Because you won't. As much as you will if you do. So don't be deceived to think, well, I don't have to. You don't have to do anything. Well, when we was a kid, we used to say, I don't got to do nothing but be black and die. Those are two things that are going to, for sure though, are going to happen. You don't have to be faithful to your wife. Now, if you want a happy marriage, you do. But if you don't want to be faithful to your wife, you don't have to. But if you want to be blessed, you do. So if you want the blessings of God, you do the things God says. Turn to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi or Malachi. Everyone say Malachi. Say Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, the book right before Matthew. Right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Malachi 3, 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And but you say, in what way have we robbed you? When you rob somebody is when you take something from them that belongs to them and not you. You get that? There are things that you have that God has given to you for stewardship, and there are things that he has given you so you can give it back to him. Okay? And then it says, in what way have we robbed you? It says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have been robbed. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, in our context, the church, that there may be food in my house, resources. Test me in this, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. Everyone say, test me. Here's what God says. Test me. If you don't tithe, then I don't bless you where you can't handle it. Now, how many of you would love to be blessed like that? Raise your hand real high. Now, since this is not a trick. This is not a trick. I'm not going to say, okay, now you got to do this. Well, I'm going to say that, but raise your hand. Okay? Here's what God said. This is not mild and fierce. This is what God said. God says, test me. If you are not faithful to me, then I don't bless you when you can't handle it. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you're going to have trillions and trillions that no bank can have it. You're going to be so blessed. You're going to say, I got to bless somebody else. In January, we are going to do a 90-day tithe challenge. We believe this so much. That if you register for the 90-day tithe challenge and you tithe for 90 days and you are not satisfied, we will give you your money back. Now, we know some people will try to scam us. We try to get scammed all the time, by the way. People will go up to the offering room and say, hey, my wife put in cash. She wasn't supposed to. Can I have the cash? And there's no record of it. It's, you know, we get scammed all the time, or we attempt to get scammed. But we're gonna there'll be a lot of record keeping to this. But here's the thing. 90 days, you tithe, and if God doesn't bless you, and you say, you know what, I faithfully really did give 10% of my gross, of everything I got, and God did not bless me, and you can prove it, and we'll give you money back. Then God ain't true. Some of y'all are tripping right now. Don't wait till January. We'll do it in January, but do it now. This is what God's telling you. If this ain't true, then God's lying. Now, I'm not telling you that you're going to become a millionaire. I'm telling you, you are going to be blessed. More blessed than you are not tithing. What the Bible says. Okay? Do it. Stop stealing from God. Leviticus 27:30 says the tithe is holy to the Lord. It does not belong to you at all. It is not your prerogative, your option to do with it what you want. It belongs to God. And the act of surrendering it is part of the ministry to your heart. And if you keep it, you have a curse. What does that curse mean? How God administers that curse is up to him, but one way is that you don't enjoy it. Another way is he takes it from you through hard times. I'm not saying if you're hard times it's because you're in sin. I'm not saying you is. I'm not saying you know. I'm just telling you what the Bible says and what it could mean in your context. But what I'm telling you is that that money is not yours. It's not yours. Look at number two in your notes. Tithes were a source of blessing to God because they supported ministry. The ministry, the only reason there is a building that we are sitting in here in Point Loma, there's a building in North County, people watching online, the only way is because people give. People don't give, it all shuts down, period. It has to come somewhere. God is going to use people. Tithes were a source of blessing to the giver because it secured a blessing on the 90% you keep. God is so good. He got us. He's like, look, you can't get around me. Buddy of mine, I'm going to tell you a story, a real story, but I'm going to change the names to protect the innocent. Because they're not guilty, innocent. Pastor Leon. Everyone say Pastor Leon? And Jimmy. Pastor Leon says to Jimmy, I want you to come to my church and perform a service, and we're going to pay you. Pastor Leon says to Jimmy, I'm going to pay you, but what we're going to pay you is 30%. He didn't say this, but it ended up being 30% what you normally charge. So Jimmy says, cool. He goes and he's doing his thing, and God tells Jimmy, I want you to give back to the church all of it. All of it. He's like, really? I want you to give back to Pastor Leon everything he's given you. Not just the 30% increase, all of it. So Jimmy's like, okay, I got to be obedient. He's struggling because this was a good payday for him, and he's struggling. So he's eating dinner with Pastor Leon. And Pastor Leon's eating like this. This is how the story was told to me. They're eating dinner. Pastor Leon passes the check to Jimmy. Here's your check. Jimmy says, God told me I had to give it back to you, and slides it back across the table. Pastor Leon, without skipping a beat, said, God told me the same thing. Keep it. Do you trust him? I'm not telling you he's going to give you all this money back. I'm telling you he's going to bless you. Is it by faith? Yes. Is it scary? Yes. Will you be blessed? Yes. Are you walking into the unknown? Yes. Is it the only way God operates? Yes. Can't get around it. It is so good. You want the most exciting life you could ever have? Walk by faith and trust God. In every area of your life, you cannot control God. You cannot take from God. You have to receive from him by faith once you surrender. Number three in your notes, offerings were over and above the tithe. Offerings were over and above. When Solomon built the temple, David supplied the resources. They took an offering over and above the tithes for that specific project. When Moses built a tabernacle, he took an offering from the people that was specifically for that project. We have a Pervasive Hope campaign. We had $20 million in pledges, but there's a difference between pledges and cash. Okay? So we are now trying to raise $11 million by the end of this year so we can pay down our debt and refinance this building and start construction on East County. And so what we want to do over and above tithes, we don't want you to take from one to meet the other. By the way, if everybody tithes, we wouldn't even doing this. We'd have all the money. We want $11 million. So far, we've collected $4.3 million towards that $11 million. That means we need $6.7 million by the end of this year. And that's our timetable. God can change it around, but that's what we're going for to refinance this by the end of the year. The bank's looking at our finances for this calendar year, and then we want to start construction on East County. That's in the next 6 weeks. Ha! Now, yes, I love this. Can God do it? Sure. Sure. But he needs people. He is not going to drop a check out of the sky. He's going to talk to people. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to ask you to agree on, and then I'm going to ask you to agree on. I'm not going to try to trick you. I'm going to tell you in advance. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you will pray and agree in prayer, Lord, we believe you can, and we ask that you do. Okay? Are you following me now? You're not committing to anything other than praying. Now, am I praying God will change your heart to do with you? Absolutely. Being straight up, he's going to change your heart. You may say, okay, God, instead of giving me $5, I'm going to give $10. Whatever God tells you to do. How many of you all pray with us on that? Excellent. Let's pray right now. Lord, we pray for a miracle. And Lord, I pray you do it in such a way people would know it's God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Number four in your notes. Tithe was a sign of trust because it actually belongs to God. Tithing is a sign of trust. It's really not about your money. It's about your heart. And 4a, it says, really, tithe is not giving, it's returning. You're not really giving God anything that doesn't belong to him anyway. You're just returning to him what is his. He just lent it to you. He says, I'm gonna give you this to see what you do. I'm going to give this to you to see what you do. Now, some people say, well, I'm going to tithe when I make more money. No, you won't. You won't. More money you have, more money, more money, more money, more drama, more Gucci. The more you get, the more you're going to want. And oh, look at all the taxes I'm paying. Oh, look at this. Look at all these. Oh, yeah, look at all the entanglements. You better pay to God first. Let God bless all that. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want you to take out this envelope. In a minute, we're going to watch a video, then we're going to take the offering. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray over this offering. And my challenge to you, if you're watching online, you could tithe right there online. I know a lot of you give online. We want to acknowledge you. And by the way, if you want to give online, it's an automatic deduction, you don't have to worry about it. Almost half the people who give here do that. You can just go on our website, sdrock.com, hit the give button, and it's very easy. All the instructions on the back of your bulletin. But in a minute, after we watch this video, we're going to take the offering, and then we'll dismiss you after the offering. We don't want you walking out, and we'll take care of it in a few minutes. But right now, I want you to check out this video, and then we're going to pray for our offering. Let's check out the video.
You know, life is full of change, and it's inevitable. And as of late, my family, we've gone through all kinds of change. On October 1st, we had a new baby girl, and our son turns 12. He's becoming a man. And then my position at The Rock, you know, from several different spots to now, I'm the East County campus pastor. And with that, we ended up packing up from downtown and moving to the heart of East County. Now we live in La Mesa.
I'll probably be taking you up today, but okay. Have a great day.
You know, one of the most exciting things about Rock Church Landing in East County is that we get to partner with ministries that are already up and running here and offer much needed help. One of those ministries is the East County Transitional Living Center, or the ECTLC. In just a minute, we're going to sit down with the Director of Development, Don, and just figure out what this partnership would look like.
The East County Transitional Living Center is designed to eliminate chronic homelessness. We take people on a journey for a year to help them to get rid of the negative lifestyles, to learn that there's a better way to live by introducing them to a man named Jesus Christ. There are so many wonderful people who just made a bad choice and the world has condemned them. But Jesus doesn't condemn anybody, and that's why we're all here.
All right, well, we just wanted to say thanks for letting us invade your space.
Amen. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. You'll see a lot more of us.
Amen.
Hi, guys. Hi, buddy.
So I want to say thank you for your generosity, because the money you've given to the Pervasive Hope campaign is truly making a difference. We have the opportunity here not just to open East County, but to save millions of dollars in refinancing our building. So thank you again, Rock Church. God bless you, and stay faithful.
Two things before we take the offering. I want to prepare you for two dates. December 16th, we are going to designate that Sunday. We're going to take our tithes, but we're also going to take a special offering. We'll be all at one time for the Pervasive Hope campaign. So we want you to be praying about, if you made a pledge to that, how much of that you can give before the end of the year. And if you haven't made a pledge, and you say, you know, I really want to help with that initiative, paying down the debt, and also on this building, and also funding East County, that day we would collect that. Before the end of the year is fine, but that's going to be a Sunday. We focus on it. The other thing is that in the beginning of next year, we're going to go on a 40-day fast. And that doesn't mean we're going to force you to not eat. It means that we're going to encourage you to give up something for 40 days. And I want you to be thinking about that now, because the purpose of the fast is that God would change you. That He would change you. Now, we're talking about being a generous giver, this series, to be the source of a blessing. Maybe that's the change. You need to become a generous person and not so selfish, maybe to even realize how selfish you are. But it may be something else. You may have an addiction. And the reason I'm telling you now is I just want you, as we look, you know, as what you're thinking about it, you're going to get all bloated Thanksgiving, Christmas. Maybe you don't, and you just start preparing yourself for January, that next year will be the most incredible year of your life, okay? So right now, we're going to take our offering, and I want you to hold up the envelope if you have something to give. I want you to hold it up. We're going to pray for it. Let me see. I'm just waving real quick. Very good. Very good.